This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's The Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove. I'm with you until 10:35 tonight. Pomp and Pony have the nightly sports call after that. But until then, we're talking sports with you at 412-928-9370. Bulk of the show centered around the Steelers, but some big news came out last night and potentially bigger news tomorrow with Paul Skeens, now the National League Rookie of the Year, also up for the NL Cy Young. And we're going to talk about it all, plus some potential offseason acquisitions the Pirates can make with Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He covers the Pirates. Noah, I saw you on Saturday at the Pitt game. Good to see you there. Good to talk to you now. Paul Skeens winning the National League Rookie of the Year. What does it do for this Pirates organization as 2025 rolls around?
I mean, for the sake of the fans listening here, Jack, I hope it would turn up the temperature a little bit and make the organization get a little bit more aggressive. With him winning the Rookie of the Year, he gets a full year of MLB service time. He's, you know, going to get to arbitration sooner, which means his clock is ticking here in Pittsburgh, unless they have plans to, you know, ink some extension that goes well beyond, you know, anyone's wildest imagination who's followed this team for a while. You know, the clock is ticking with this guy. And every second counts, especially with a pitcher, because you never know how long they're going to stay healthy. So I think the big takeaway I had from him winning this was, A, you know, congrats to him. He earned it. He was the best rookie in baseball. I don't think that's really a disputable fact. And B, it's that this is a guy that, you know, he's doing his part. Now it's time to build around him and give him something. I expect him to be a bigger leader next year. I expect him to kind of take some of these other young, talented arms under his wing. And I expect with the other hires they've made for the pitching to become a lot better than what it already was. So now it's time to invest and make some aggressive moves and get some offense. Because, I mean, you're not going to have this guy forever.
Yeah, what does that do to his service time and his club control now? I know that there was a clause with that. Can you kind of explain what that does now and how that changes how much control the Pirates have with Skeens on his rookie deal?
I just know he gets I don't want to say anything because I'm currently talking to you from Kohl's. I'm shopping with my girlfriend. I don't have everything written in front of me, and I don't have it completely known verbatim off the top of my head. But I know he gets a full year of service time here, which, you know, starts his clock a little bit. He'll reach arbitration a little bit quicker now. And that's when the expenses start coming into concern. Because, like, when this guy gets to arbitration, it's going to be a hefty figure based on if he can continue this trajectory. It's going to be a hefty figure just in year one of arbitration. And I don't know how many years of arb they're going to want to keep him around before they feel the need to ship him away with multiple years of service time to get, you know, a haul back that could, you know, potentially keep them in a competitive light. But yeah, so sorry, I don't know it all completely off the top of my head. I'm like 99% confident with all of it, but I don't want to say the wrong thing right now and mislead people.
No, you're fine. What are you getting at Kohl's?
I'm not getting anything.
What's she getting at Kohl's?
We're looking at cowgirl boots, I think. We just stopped at Boot Barn, but that wasn't doing it. So I guess Kohl's has better. I don't know, dude. I'm just along for the ride. Well, it's a long off season.
Hopefully you can enjoy it. So tomorrow night, he's up for the Cy Young as well. I'd like to think that it might be a little bit more of a stretch to say that he's going to win the Cy Young as well. How much of a chance do you give that? As well as him obviously bringing home the Rookie of the Year.
I don't think he has much of a chance. Now, I mean, I think next year I'd be shocked if he wasn't the favorite to win it in Vegas. But, I mean, the guy didn't play the whole season. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, he had the lowest ERA in baseball after he debuted. But in all the other categories that he's second and third in, which are a lot, there have been two guys who are typically ahead of him in pretty much everything, and it's Tarek Skubal and it's Chris Sale. And those are your two best – those are the two Cy Young winners this year. So, I mean, Skeens was fantastic, but I think, again, you got to give it to the guy who, A, did it from start to finish, and B, I mean, the ERA was significantly higher, but if you look at a lot of other metrics, I mean, Sale was just as dominant. So – I mean, he had a really impressive year, and he deserves to win the award. I'm sure Paul will get at least one of them before it's all said and done, but I think that it's going to be Sale and Skubal in a runaway. I wouldn't be shocked if Skeens finished second, though.
Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us on the Fan Hotline. It's presented to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Noah, as the offseason is quickly approaching. I know the Pirates left a couple of guys unprotected to the Rule 5 draft. The deadline for the 40-man roster was today. Before you know it, you know, it'll start to get to the point where the free agents are made available. I want to start and ask you about the ballpark figure that you think the Pirates might spend this offseason. Like, when it's all said and done, and when we get to spring training and we look back and say, okay, the Pirates spent X on this many guys, how much money do you think is a reasonable expectation of the Pirates to spend this offseason?
Oh, I want to start off by saying this is all speculation. This isn't me saying anything I've heard definitively. But I don't expect them to spend more this offseason than they did last offseason. And here's why. You've got multiple guys going into their extensions now, where Reynolds is getting more money. Keller's salary is taking, you know, a noted tick up. You have IKF still on your roster. So that's committed payroll that they weren't really having to dish out last year. I think Keller is the most significant bump. So you have that. And then you have more guys going into arbitration this year compared to last year. You had a whole bunch of pre-arb guys. So now guys who are making the minimum are going to make $1 million or two, depending on their production. You got to pay Bailey Falter. You got to pay Colin Holderman. You got to pay David Bednar, decide what to do with them. So that's, I think after ARB, they're going to be at around 70-ish million, I would have to assume. So I would say they'll get close to the triple figure or the nine figure mark, I should say. So they'll get close to $100 million. I'm not entirely sure. If you subscribe to the idea that payroll goes up with attendance went up 5.5% this year. So that would bring their payroll up to around, I believe, like $93 million, $92 million. But that's not a guarantee. I mean, you have to account for other things too. They could offload guys like a IKF or Hayes to clear up some space to spend a little bit more. You could factor in the Sheets sponsorship. Maybe that gives them a little bit more to work with for payroll. Or maybe, just maybe, they look around and they see that they've got Skeens on a discount for a couple more years. They've got Jones. They've got all this great young pitching. And that if they spend just a little bit out of their comfort zone, that they could be a real contender to win this division. So I wouldn't expect them to spend more than $30 million this offseason now.
Let's take that one step further. I know you had an article in the PG around the beginning of the month kind of laying out some potential targets. Who are some of your favorites and who are some that you think might be the most feasible for the Pirates to go out there and add to this roster?
That's the other thing I want to hit on, too, is even if that is they're limited, and I know a lot of people who are hearing that for the first time are probably discouraged, and they should be. I mean, you should, if you own a baseball team, you should spend at least $100 million on payroll, I think. I don't think that that's an unfair thing for fans to ask. But even if you're operating under these guidelines, I mean, I think the strategy we're going to see this team go through, or at least I think one that makes sense, is you spend your free agency dollars on your bullpen, and you acquire offense through the trade market. There are a lot of guys that I think who have multiple years of control that can come in and help. I mean, and as I identified in the article, two guys that I think make a lot of sense that are easy to acquire or would be relatively easy to acquire are Yandy Diaz and Ryan Mountcastle, two first basemen with multiple years of control. Diaz makes $10 million this year and has a $12 million club option. Mountcastle's in arbitration. I wouldn't expect him to make more than 7 or 8, so that should be well within their price range. And those are guys who have been around winning ball clubs. Those are guys who would be an offensive upgrade at that position. Now, if you want to move Brian Reynolds over to first base and you want to pay for some outfield help, you could trade for a guy like Adolis Garcia in Texas right now. They're probably looking to clear up some money, and they're an organization that needs pitching. The Pirates have a ton of it. So that could be a deal that you could go after, a guy who's hit 120 home runs in the last 4 years. Or you could spend some in free agency. The name that everyone's throwing around, and I think it makes a lot of sense, is Tyler O'Neill, a guy who hit 31 home runs in 112 games last year for the Red Sox, someone who's going to cost you probably $16 million a year, which would probably be the biggest signing they'd make this offseason. But, I mean, you're looking at a guy who brings you high-caliber defense and 30 home run power. Those are two things they need to fix. They need to fix their outfield defense. They need more power. So those are just a couple of names, but there are a lot of other names, too, where I think once the first couple big dominoes start to fall, you know, whoever gets after Soto, that's going to really start this thing going, because then the teams who don't get Soto, they're going to get your Teoscar Hernandezes and so on and so forth. And once those outfielders start moving, a lot of the other positions will follow. So I expect the dominoes to start falling around the winter meetings, which is in the second week of December, 8th through 12th is when that will be. So expect it to really start heating up there. It'll be interesting. I do expect the Pirates to be in the mix. I think they will make one move that's been more aggressive than we've seen under this regime. I just don't know if it'll be the aggressive offseason that everyone hopes to see.
Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joining us here on the Fan Hotline. And as far as the offseason goes, and as we start to, you know, look ahead a little bit, Joel Nelson has a question for you about the pitching staff. Go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, Noah, Jared Jones had a solid spring training and it earned him a spot in the rotation to start last season. Could any of Bubba Chandler, Thomas Harrington, or Braxton Ashcraft earn a spot right away with a really good spring training, or would you anticipate all of them starting the year with AAA Indianapolis?
I think they just all end up starting in AAA. That's a good question, Joel. It's just because this year's rotation is a lot deeper heading into spring than last year. That was the narrative all last season, right? Was how funny is that? That we were talking about in the offseason at this time last year. Okay, well, they have the bats.
Yep.
They have the bullpen. It's just starting pitching depth that's the concern. And that's how a guy like Jared Jones managed to sneak his way onto a rotation. Not sneak his way, but, you know, pitch his way to a point where they couldn't tell him no. Where this year, I mean, you figure you've got 6 spots already determined in a way with Skeens, Jones, Keller, Ortiz, Falter, and then you have Johan Oviedo in the mix. So that's going to be a tough battle to pick a 5 guys out of that, assuming everyone stays healthy. Now, if there are some injuries, sure, one of those guys might work their way up. But I think with Chandler and with these other guys, they're going to anticipate using them in big moments. I'm not sure that all of these guys are going to remain starters as well, especially this year. I look at a guy like Ashcraft, who has some arm injury history, or Burrows. And that might be a guy that you could use kind of like Luis Ortiz last year, where you start him off in the bullpen. And not out of opening day, but even just bringing him up. If your bullpen depth is still thin, you have a guy who can throw some nasty stuff, and it probably becomes a lot nastier if it's only two innings as opposed to five. So I don't think anyone makes the club out of spring training just because their rotation depth is among the best in baseball right now. They don't have to spend a single dollar on starting pitching at the major league level, and you can still feel confident that's going to be the best area of their team. I think that maybe they will. Maybe if they move someone, they get another left-hander or something, or you can get a vet on the cheap. But overall, I just think there's too much competition. It makes too much sense to keep those guys down. Not all of them. I don't think Burroughs might be the only one that has like a full year in AAA. The rest of them are still relatively new to that level. So let them go. Let them get their feet wet a little bit more. I would expect to see most of them up in the big leagues at some point next year, though.
Noah, before we let you go, the non-tender deadline is Friday, and that includes arbitration-eligible guys, too, correct?
Yes.
So are there any guys that you could see maybe not being tendered by the Pirates, or is it pretty much all the arbitration-eligible guys will be tendered a contract by Friday?
If I had to pick one that I think makes the most sense to not get tendered, it would be Connor Gill. Simply because, and I like Connor, he's one of my favorite people to talk to on the team. And I thought in 2023, he was exactly what the team needed him to be. But you look around what they have now, I'm not sure what he provides compared to a Billy Cook, right? Or Nick York. I feel like you kind of have that already. And it's cheaper and it's under club control for a lot more years. And you can use that money elsewhere that you would pay him. So that would be the number one candidate for a non-tender. If I had to pick a second one, Brian De La Cruz, who is objectively worse, at least from what we've seen in Pittsburgh, than Connor Joe, but the years of club control make him maybe a little bit more of a candidate to get an offer to be tendered. But I mean, you have to ask yourself, like, if they're willing to accept the fact that they traded away two prospects for this guy for only 3 months of baseball for him, then still non-tender him. But I mean, going off of this organization's past, you know, logic, I would think that they're probably going to want to stick with him a little bit more, considering that he's coming off of not a great year, especially in Pittsburgh, and he's only in his first year of arbitration. So I would say Connor Joe and Brian De La Cruz are the two names we'll watch out for.
He's Noah Hiles. He covers the Pirates for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Noah, thanks for taking some time out of your exciting evening to join us. Enjoy the rest of it, and we'll talk soon, brother.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Jack.
You got it. There he goes. It's Noah Hiles of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Yeah, the Pirates have eight guys up for arbitration. It's Bednar, De La Cruz, Joe, Bailey Falter, Dennis Santana, Johan Oviedo, Colin Holderman, and Joey Bart. I think the biggest slam dunk tender is Joey Bart, and I see you, Joel, nodding your head. Let me ask you, before we go to break, are there any other guys? There's one guy on here that Noah didn't mention, and I wanted to get him out in a timely manner so he can enjoy the rest of his evening at Kohl's, but I wanted to ask him, Holderman, I don't necessarily would love the idea of bringing that guy back in 2025. Now, I get the whole idea of the bullpen being kind of depleted, but Johan Oviedo comes back into the fold this year. You know, who's to say that a guy like Oviedo might not be able to get moved into the bullpen and moved into maybe a seventh or an eighth inning role? And with the way that Holderman kind of blew up at the end of last year, you know, I'm not necessarily sure I would give that guy a second chance. I don't know. I wanted to get your take on that.
It's a real 50-50, Jack, with Colin Holderman. And the reason, if I were to keep him, the reason would be because of like his upside and his stuff, mainly his stuff.
Yeah.
The 99 and 100 and that sweeper he's got, you know, saying goodbye to that would be, you know, because it's some tough shoes to replace there. But with his control and some of his brutal outings, you know, and maybe Dennis Santana kind of took over his spot. You bring back Santana and then maybe Aroldis Chapman, and you can move on from Colin Holderman at that point, assuming David Bednar would be your closer. But overall, I'm 50-50 on Holderman. If they bring him back, cool. If they don't, cool.
Yeah, I would probably put Holderman. The one that, and that I did agree with Noah, and I lost the tab. Where'd it go? Here we go. Spot rack. Or is it spot rack or spot track? You know the website I'm talking about.
Yes.
Maybe you do out there too, and maybe it's tomato, tomato. There's eight guys, and the one that did make sense that Noah talked about was Connor Joe, because Billy Cook kind of came on last year, and he gives you the same kind of thing, and I would agree with him there. I would take off Brian De La Cruz and put Holderman as the second, maybe. I think De La Cruz, he kind of brought it up at the end. Are the Pirates okay with trading two prospects away for De La Cruz for just 3 months of baseball? I don't think they are. I think De La Cruz has power potential that maybe we didn't see last year in the short sample size. And look, if the Pirates were able to give Jack Sawinski the chances that they did, I think because they gave up the two prospects for De La Cruz, they'll hold on to him and offer him at least one more year of arbitration. All right, 412-928-9370. That's the number for you to get in on the conversation. It's also the number of the Fan Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. If you're the Pirates, who do you go out there and get within reason? We all know the Pirates' history with spending money, and especially in the offseason for free agents. Who are some names out there that intrigue you? Let us know at 412-928-9370. Any Pirates or Steelers talk in the next segment is welcome. The phone lines are open, but coming up, I'm springing this one on Joel in the moment. The PM team had a hilarious caller that I want to replay. It's around 425. We'll go back and find it in this commercial break, and it has to do with Paul Skeens winning Rookie of the Year, and the back and forth was just hilarious. And I think it needs to be played again. So we're going to play that, and we'll get to your phone calls next on the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Twitter. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm with you for about another 2 hours. Tonight, 10:35, the nightly sports call with Pomp and Pony is then, but we're talking sports with you up until 10:35. Just got off the horn with Noah Hiles talking Buccos on the Fan Hotline, and waiting patiently on the Fan Hotline wants to talk about Derek Shelton. Ron's in the car. Hey, Ron, thanks for giving us a call.
Yeah, thanks, Jack, for taking my call. I don't know, you had asked before about how do you think they're going to fare this year with Skeens and the other people that they acquired. I'm not sold on the fact that Shelty can take us any further than he's had already, because I don't know, there was no difference between like the 23 and 24 season as far as the statistics went. And I see him as too analytical.
Ron, are very valid gripes. I'm with you there. But the at this point in November, as we kind of just kind of look ahead to 2025, I look back at last season and I see guys like Key Brian Hayes, David Bednar, Colin Holderman, Brian De La Cruz when they traded for him, Jack Sawinski, a ton of guys just flat out underperformed. And to me, that doesn't have anything to do with Derek Shelton. That's just the guys not playing well. And I think that more so has to do with how 2024 ended up versus Derek Shelton. Now, I'm with you. There were a lot of instances where I thought he could have managed games better, and it could have come down to that. But as we sit here right now, I'm kind of looking more so at the fact that they had guys last year that were supposed to be good and were not. And as we turn to 2025, number one, can they bounce back? And number two, can we bring other guys in here to help bolster the core a little bit? And then we can start worrying about how Derek Shelton's managing games.
Well, I can go along with that, but he's not managing the game as it's being played. He's looking at too much matchups and the figures and everything. And that's the only thing that sours me about it. It's just he's just not managing the game as it's being played.
No, and that's again, Ron, and thank you for the call. Thanks for driving around listening to us. Right now, I'm just not ready to gripe about Derek Shelton. You know, if you were to rank the Pirates' problems last year, Derek Shelton, I don't think is one or two. I think it's the bullpen. Could you blame Derek Shelton for some of the bullpen problems? Yeah. Did he leave guys in there a little bit longer? Yeah. But to me, it just boils down to guys that were supposed to be good were not good last year. Guys that you pay and guys that you rely upon. Hayes, Holderman, Bednar. Holderman and Bednar were supposed to be your 8th and 9th inning guys. We looked at Chapman, Bednar, Holderman, not necessarily in that order, but those three guys is the back half of the bullpen, and we were excited. And Colin Holderman had an abysmal back half of the year. David Bednar really never found his stride. So my question right now going into 2025 is, can David Bednar be the all-star closer again? Can Colin Holderman elongate, you know, the first couple months of the season that he had in 2024 into a longer 2025? And can they bring guys in here to complement now what looks like O'Neill Cruz in center field? Another corner outfield piece or two, depending on what happens with Brian Reynolds. Multiple bullpen guys to come in and bolster that back half. And then once the players are acquired, then we can start worrying about Shelton mismanaging games. Skip in Mount Lebanon's on the fan. Hey, Skip.
Hey, enjoying the show. Hey, my number one thing about Shelton is, I don't know if you're around when Jim Leland came here, you probably weren't, way long time ago. This guy hated to lose from day one, and Shelton has no problem losing. And it's always like to me, like every game is an exhibition game, and they're waiting for something to click on when the games are supposed to mean something. Him and Sherrington both, it's just an odd attitude that there's no sense of urgency to win. And a lot of their moves are like, well, we're doing this for much later on. And that, it just, you know, his lineups, as he pulls them out of the hat, they're different every day. This, I agree with you that the players did underperform, but this guy, to me, he's never going to get them to a higher level. He's just not a good manager, period. I don't know what his deal is, to be honest with you.
Skip, thanks for the call. I think this is do or die for Shelton in 2025, and maybe Ben Cherington, too. You know, you look at the way that Shelton managed some of these games last year. Yeah, I agree. Not great. Not somebody that I would feel confident in managing the Pirates' next playoff game, whenever that might come. And then you look at Ben Cherington, and you look at some of the money that the Pirates did spend in the offseason last year. They go out and they bring in Aroldis Chapman. They go out and they bring in Marco Gonzalez and brain fart, Joel. Who was the other guy that was in the rotation? They traded
Martin Perez.
Both lefties. And you look at the seasons that they had. Brian De La Cruz was a swing and a miss last year. I hope that changes if they do decide to offer him arbitration by Friday, which I think they will. But you look at the Pirates as a whole, right? We know that they don't, for whatever reason, have money to spend. They are equipped, or lack of equipption, not really to spend a whole lot of money. We get that. They're in a bracket financially as are other teams. And for whatever reason, the prospects and the free agent targets that fall in that area the Pirates like to spend money, they're missing on. And that falls on Ben Cherington. So there are things to blame for Cherington, and there are certainly things to blame for Shelton. And this offseason is going to tell a lot. This offseason is going to tell a lot. All right, before the break, I had Joel dig this one up. Andrew and Chris had a call earlier from a man by the name of Tom. And we'll hear from Tom in a moment. But essentially, the premise of the conversation was, does Paul Skeens give you hope? Does Paul Skeens being the NL Rookie of the Year and maybe the best pitcher in all of baseball give you any sense of confidence that 2025 might be something for the Pirates? That is the question, and that is essentially how Pony phrased it to you guys out there listening. And Tom calls in and says this.
Tom is on the fan. Hello, Tom.
Yes, guys, why are you killing this the Pirates' chance at a deal with this guy? Paul Skeens came out to the game, okay, to show people, hey,
hit pause for a second.
I
love how he thinks that Paul Skeens going to the Steeler game on Sunday was 100% his decision and not some probable marketing ploy with like Livy Dunn's NIL fund or something like that. I'm sure Paul had a great time, but Paul Skeens was not at the Steeler game on Sunday under his own want and will to be there. Keep going.
I like it here in Pittsburgh. I'm starting to become a fan in Pittsburgh. I might want to stay here in Pittsburgh. He's putting out all the signals that he wants to stay, that he wants to build the team that the Pirates had in the 70s. And you guys are just absolutely killing. You're like handing the Pirates organization, hey, kill this deal. Kill this deal.
Stop doing that. What deal?
Whatever deal they're going to make with this guy.
Why do you think they're going to make a deal with him? Do they have something in principle?
You're telling us something, they got a deal with him?
What deal are they working on?
Listen, so do you know something that I don't know?
No, we're asking you if you know something that we don't know.
No, I'm asking you, do you know something that I don't know?
No, we're just telling you we don't have a good feeling about the direction of the team despite having the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're putting out the feelers to everybody in the organization, all the fans. Hey, this is never going to work out. The Pirates are the same old Pirates. You don't know that. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh, so you know. Are they going to sign Juan Soto
tomorrow?
I was just going to ask that. So you actually do have a very positive outlook about things, Tom.
I certainly do.
Good for
Based
you.
Based on
I
what?
Certainly
That's
do.
Fine. You're allowed to have that opinion. We're allowed to have ours.
What makes you feel positive about them, Tom?
You guys are not supposed to be on the air killing deals that might be...
What deals are we killing? What deals are we killing?
This guy wants to stay in Pittsburgh, that he wants to build a franchise, that he wants to be part of a winning organization.
What deals are we killing?
Tom, they put the money in front of them.
You're putting the ideas in everybody's head that this is the same old Pirates, that they're never going to sign the guy.
That is not an answer to the question, what deals are we killing?
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
You're killing everything. You guys
killing everything. What are we, pesticides?
Yeah, you guys are. Can't you see that you're being pesticide? I mean, it's obvious.
So, Tom, let me just make sure I hear you right. If they put a $500 million deal in front of Paul Skeens today, he'd look at it and say, you know what? Actually, I heard those guys talking about this situation on The Fan. I'm not going to sign it now because they're giving me a bad feeling about the direction of the team. Are you out of your effing mind?
Well, look.
Come on, let me ask you a question.
Answer Pony's question.
No, hold on a second.
Answer Pony's question. If they put $500 million in front of him, you think he would cite two radio hosts as having poisoned the well, Tom?
Money talks and BS walks. That's all you need to know. If they put the money in front of him or any other player, what Tom in New Jersey thinks or what Chris Muller, Andrew Filippone, and Donnie Football thinks in Pittsburgh, none of it will matter.
Guys,
that's it, Tom, and I'm letting you go because we're up
against
it.
Guys. I wanted to let that one live on one more time this evening. Was that the first time you heard it, or did you listen to it during the break?
No, I listened to bits and pieces, but that was the first time in length.
So when
it
Paul,
was incredible.
When Paul Skeens signs a $500 million deal in 2030 with a team that either has pinstripes or some sort of shade of blue on their uniform, make sure you come back in your time machine to November 19th, 2024, and make sure you let Pony and Muller know that it was their fault that Paul Skeens didn't want to be a Pittsburgh Pirate for the rest of his life. It had nothing to do with anything else other than the fact that Pony and Muller are pesticides of deals, none of which are even in place yet. I wanted to let that one live on one more time. I was actually listening to it on the way to the station and was cracking up behind the wheel. All right. Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. If you're out there and you're listening and you want to chime in on the Pirates or the Steelers or Pitt for that matter, because coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk Pitt football and Pitt hoops with Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Later on in the show, we'll look ahead to the weekend in college football. And I think we might have to save this for the 10 o'clock hour before the nightly sports call, Jolie, but I'll just put it out there right now. I've got a take for this weekend in college football. And it might get hilariously laughed at, but I'm throwing my name on it loud and proud. We'll find out later on in the show. Coming up, I'll list a couple of guys that I think the Pirates can get and should get. And again, more of your phone calls at 412-928-9370. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It is the Fan Evening Show. We'll be back in a little bit. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event. Now through December 2nd, 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Before the break and before we get to Stephen Thompson, I'm going to give you two free agents that I think the Pirates should be able to go out and get. I'll give you a dollar figure on how much I think they should spend in the offseason, and how much, if they do spend what I say, I'll be like, all right, you know what? There is a direction. There is a sense of urgency. I'm going to give these guys a legitimate shot in 2025. And the one guy that I'm going to list here is another one that if they go out and get him and spend the money for him, I'll be like, okay, they're serious. Juan Soto. No, I'm kidding. The first guy is I'll give you a pitcher and I'll give you a position player. The pitcher that I would love to see them go out and get is a reliever, and he played in Oakland last year, Scott Alexander. 34 years old. He'll be 35, I believe, at the start of the season, actually about halfway through the season, or 36 halfway through the season. No, 35. Can't do math. No, 36. He'll be 36 on July 10th. So, I'm hung up on his age. If 2025, yeah, 36. Okay, there's the math. Thank you. Got stuck in my head. So, Alexander had a really, really good year last year in Oakland. 38 innings out of the bullpen, 45 games. A 2.56 ERA. He only walked 15 guys. 31 strikeouts in the 38 innings is not a whole lot, but he, again, kept guys off the bases for the most part, got guys out, had a walks and hits per innings pitch of 1.19. It's pretty solid. You could probably get a guy like Alexander for a little less than what you might have paid Aroldis Chapman at the very most, maybe $7-8 million. And it would probably be a one-year deal because of the age. And it might be a little bit less because, again, Mason Miller saw a lot of spotlight out of that Oakland bullpen, and Alexander kind of flew under the radar. So that's a guy that I would like to see them add to the bullpen. I think the arms that they go out and do get will be bullpen-related. I don't see them adding a starting pitcher between Skeens, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller. Bailey Falter, you'd have to assume, will be offered arbitration. It'll be back into that rotation. And then that fifth spot, is it up for grabs? Sort of. Is there a guy maybe out there that the Pirates could get that could fill that fifth spot in the rotation in free agency? Yeah, maybe. But you look at Johan Oviedo coming back. You look at the year that Luis Ortiz had out of the bullpen. You'd like to think, in the spot starts that he made, you'd like to think that he'll have an opportunity to get that fifth starting rotation spot. And let's not forget Bubba Chandler. Let's not forget Braxton Ashcraft and Thomas Harrington. While I don't see it, the Jared Jones 2.0, where those guys play so damn well in spring training, or one of them does, that it's impossible to leave them out of the rotation on opening day. While I don't see it, there's always that opportunity. And we talked about it with Noah Hyles. Who would have thought that, you know, a calendar year later, this time last year, we were talking about the bats being good and the pitching being the issue. Now it's the starting pitching, I feel like, is the last thing that Pirates fans and management should be worrying about. So I'd actually be a little bit shocked if they go out and sign a starting pitcher. I think that fifth spot in the rotation will be picked up in-house. And I'm fine with that. And the bat that I think would make a hell of a lot of sense is Tyler O'Neill. Noah talked about him. Noah had mentioned him time and time again as a potential trade target for the Pirates back in the deadline. This is a guy that if they go out and spend the money, $16.5 million for a guy like Tyler O'Neill, okay.
Oh. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.